Welcome to the Film Florida podcast. I'm John Lux, and I'm the executive director of Film Florida. Before we get to our interview, please remember to subscribe, rate, and review the Film Florida podcast. If you're not already a member of Film Florida, please consider joining at filmflorida.org. If you like what you hear on the podcast, please consider going to our website and donating $20.22 for our 2022 fundraising campaign. We also have a Film Florida merchandise page. Visit filmflorida.creator-spring.com to purchase Film Florida t-shirts, sweatshirts, coffee mugs, and more. Chris Dudley is a composer and multi-instrumentalist, most known as the keyboardist in the Grammy Award-nominated band Under Oath. After almost two decades and over 1 million albums sold, Chris is bringing his unique ear and style to film scoring in a way that's already leaving a prominent mark. Chris talks about how he got into music, his evolution as a musician, scoring for films and video games, and more on this episode of the Film Florida Podcast. Here's my conversation with Chris Dudley. Welcome to the Film Florida Podcast, Chris.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So I like to start our interviews with the guest's backstory. So where did you come from?
I actually grew up in a small town near Gainesville called Williston. I moved there when I was nine, lived there until I was about 21. And yeah, so a very, you know, small town upbringing, which I think overall was a good thing. And I found that in my adulthood, I tend to lean more toward small town life. But yeah, it's funny though, because growing up in a small town, music was for me like something that other people did, and it was something that I enjoyed, and film was something that other people did and I enjoyed. Like the idea of somebody from my town or any town like it, like working in film or working in the music industry, it wasn't even anything that crossed my radar, just because it's I guess just small town mentality of like, hey, we're here. Sure. People in LA are there, like those are two separate worlds. So I think it's overall good though, you know, because I have this appreciation and love for film and music that's born out of just me walking through the aisles of my little video store in my town and, you know, trying to figure out what movie I wanted to rent, or like having a big trip to Gainesville to be able to go to the record shop and, you know, pick out some tapes to listen to.
Talk a little bit about that. Where did the love for and the passion for music start?
Oh man, I think that, you know, I grew up in a house that was very diverse as far as what music was being listened to. Okay. And there was just kind of always music on. You know, my mom was really into like Aretha Franklin and, you know, a lot more stuff on like the gospel side. But also stuff like, you know, she loved Melissa Etheridge and Heart and stuff like that. And then my dad was really into like classic rock stuff, like 38 Special, AC/DC, stuff like that. And then my brother was into like Metallica and rap. And so it was just like at all times, there was all this stuff coming to me. You know, I think growing up, I gathered some of my tastes from them. But then also like every kid does, you know, I just kind of found what I liked. Also with every kid, you know, when they start finding their own taste in music, 8 times out of 10, they start with just like stuff that's not great. And like, mm-hmm. I listen to like Vanilla Ice and like Milli Vanilli and stuff that I'm like, I would never listen to now, but I was just finding my, you know, my love for just listening to music and realizing what I liked and what I didn't like. And yeah, just kind of, it was always there.
And so the stereotypical story of a musician is that, you know, you play with friends in a garage growing up, and then it turned into more of a hobby. And then all of a sudden you ended up in a real band. Is that your story, or did you have a completely different story growing up in music?
It was that story, but I skipped a bunch of steps because like the whole hobby step, because I started playing in, I play in a band called Under Oath, and I started playing in that band when I was a sophomore in high school, just with high school friends.
Okay.
And then it just snowballed from there. Like that became my career. And I still play in the band now. I'll be 39 coming up. Yeah, we just started playing together and we loved playing music. And, you know, in high school, we would get like a show on a weekend somewhere. And that was like a big deal, playing in front of like nobody. And then like, we had a weekend full of shows, and then that snowballed into like, oh, we have a week of dates that we can do over spring break. And then that just turned into a career. And I've been, you know, music has been my career since I have been able to have one. So yeah, it's crazy. Like, it's not lost on me how not normal it is to still be playing music in a band in my late 30s with the same guys that I was playing with in high school. Like, I know that's not normal at all. So I definitely don't take it for granted. And, you know, through doing that, that's where, you know, all the love for film music came. And that's kind of how I stumbled into that career the same way I stumbled into being in a band.
Well, did you ever have a fallback? What would you be if you weren't in a band?
Well, what's funny is when I was in high school, I was going through that thing because never thought that being in a band would be my career. Like, being in a band was just a thing I did with my friends. And, you know, my mom was very much like, you got to figure out what you want to do. Like, you got to have a direction that you're going in. And the only two things that I knew I wanted in my career was I wanted to travel a lot and I wanted to meet a lot of people. I was like, whatever career I can have where I can travel a lot and meet a lot of people, that's what I want to do. So I was going to be a flight attendant. Like, that was going to be my thing that I did. Cause I just, you know, I like talking to people and I like traveling, and that seemed like a good fit. My dad was in the Air Force when I was growing up and I wanted to fly jets, but then I got too tall for that. So that, I don't know, maybe that was subconsciously kind of like a backup for that backup. So, yeah.
That's fun. And so how long were you playing music before you realized how to write music well? It's one thing to see a sheet of music and play it, but it's a completely different thing to write what is on that sheet of paper.
I think I'm still trying to figure out how to write music well. Like, I think, you know, with any creative, if you talk to them and, you know, they'll all say a variation of the same, I still kind of feel like I don't know what I'm doing sort of thing, you know? And, you know, there's stuff that I'll listen to that I did 10, 15, 20 years ago. And I'm like, oh man, I wouldn't do that today. And there's stuff that I listened to from 6 months ago where I'm like, oh, why did I do that? And it's always this constant learning process. And yeah, I don't know if I'll ever get it figured out, but I just keep trying to get a little better with every project I work on. So, yeah.
And did you have any formal training to write music, or was it just kind of one of those things that you just took to?
No training at all. No lessons. No, I probably would have benefited from taking some lessons early on. It would have saved me a lot of time. But it was just, yeah, like I said, it was just friends messing around in a bedroom and, you know, it was like, oh, we don't need training. We're just going to rock, man. You know, like that sort of stuff. So.
Well, and as you mentioned, you've been part of Under Oath for about 20 years and more recently you've gotten into the music side for films. Was that a natural evolution? You talked about your love for music and film. Did you always kind of want to go in, you know, eventually get to film music, or is this just kind of one of those things that has happened over the last few years?
I viewed film music for years the same way that I viewed film or music when I was growing up. Again, I think it was kind of that small town mentality thing where I would listen to film music all the time. I loved, you know, just so many different film scores, and I would nerd out on them and I would just like try to study them. But I looked at film composers as, oh, that's those people, those like real musicians that do that. Like those are real artists that do that sort of thing. And I, you know, I can't do that because I'm just this guy, you know? And my wife has heard me talk about wanting to write music for film forever. And it was back in like, I think it was like the beginning of 2017 or so. We were laying down watching a movie, and I forget what movie it was, but I just commented again about how much I love the score and how much I would love to do that one day. And she's like, well, why don't you just do it? And I was like, well, I don't know how. I've never done it. I don't know what connections I have. Like, I was just naming off all these reasons why I couldn't do it. And she was like, well, why don't you just say you're doing it? Like, jump in and then see what happens, you know, see if an opportunity comes about. So I did that. I posted one thing on my Instagram account saying that I was opening up my studio for writing projects. So if people had, you know, a video game or a short or a film or an album or whatever, and they wanted somebody to write for it, to get in contact with me. And all of that was just to hopefully get somebody saying, hey, I have a short or I have a film that I'm looking to work with someone on. And again, it's just like it was a snowball from there. Like, there was a director who I knew fairly well that was working on a short, and he had no money. And he was like, hey, I'm looking for somebody to score this thing. Do you want to give it a shot? And from the time I started doing that, I was like, oh, this is it. Like, this is what I want to do. And that short led to another short, which led to a feature, which led to another feature. And right now I'm working on my fifth feature. It's another one of those things where I'm still just like, I'm figuring it out. Like, I am doing my best, and hopefully I don't mess it up. But I'm just super thankful. Like, it is something I've always wanted to do, and something that I look to be doing for the long term. Like, you know, I'd love to, you know, play in a rock band until I'm 90 years old, but
sure.
Knowing how rock bands go, that usually doesn't happen. So, but doing this, you know, just being in my studio and writing to picture, you know, I could see myself doing this when I'm no longer comfortable walking anymore. So
sure.
That's the goal.
And if I read correctly, you had a film that you did the music for at Tribeca last year, and you have another one coming this year. Is that right?
Yeah, we had one last year. I did a film called God's Waiting Room that was in Tribeca last year, and won an award there, which was really cool. And we may have one in this year, because that whole experience last year was just, it was one of those things I'll never forget. Like, I was just, again, I think it was that small town mentality thing where, mm-hmm. like, I'm, you know, in these meetings with, you know, different producers and composers and directors. And I'm kind of looking at everyone like, oh, these are like real professionals, where it's like, they're asking me about the score that I did for my film. And like, and it all came back to that. And I was just like, I don't belong in these rooms at all. But, you know, I was taking it. So.
That's cool. That's very cool. Well, take us through the music scoring process. When do you like to be brought in to that process? You know, do you like to spend time with the producer and director before the filming? Do you go out on set while filming is taking place? Or do you just wait to see what they kind of throw to you once they get into post-production? What's your ideal process?
My ideal process would be to be brought on as soon as possible. I've done films where I am brought, like, I'm sent a script and like, hey, we just got funding for this thing. Here's the script, you know, let's start talking about it. Let's see what your thoughts are, send over some ideas. And then on the other end of things, I've been brought on where I'm sent basically a locked edit saying, here's the film, here's some temp score, let's get to work. We've got 6 weeks, 7 weeks, whatever. But of those two, I think if I only had to pick one, it would be being brought on earlier, because one thing that I like is being able to write prior to filming, because I found that I've gotten to do that twice, and I found that connection with the director tends to inform sometimes what happens on set. Like, I did this film called Whelm, and I wrote a couple cues for that from the script, and he had sent me a couple screenshots and like a vibe book of what it was going to look like. And I wrote a couple of cues for that. And one of them in particular, one of the lead actors, he like went away to like a cabin to do like a method, like becoming this character thing for like a week before the filming started. And the director sent the actor this cue and was like, this is who this character is. So get into this mode. And that was really cool to see. And I think I would Yeah, I prefer that, I think. It's just because it's a rad thing to be able to be brought on early. And also, it gives me more time to recognize if something's not working. Because there'll be times when I'll write something, and in the moment, I'm like, this is great, this is it. But then if I get a week or two away from it, and I come back to it, I'll have a new perspective where I'm like, oh, okay, this doesn't exactly work the way that I thought it did. And always having time away to have perspective is always good. And, you know, if I have to cram and just bang a movie out like as quick as possible, I can do that. But, you know, I think any artist would say, you know, having some amount of time is always good.
That makes sense. Yeah. And now you've also done some scoring for video games. What's the biggest difference between film and video games?
I'm thankful, and the stuff that I've done for video games so far has been like credits music and, you know, nothing that I had to get too like fingers in the dirt on programming for, which was good. I did a credits title for this game called Until You Fall. And basically they contacted me and they sent me some screenshots, a couple like videos of like what the game looked like. And then they sent me some reference tracks for what they wanted it to sound like. And it was very, very open. They were just like, we like what you do. Like, can you do something that sounds a little like this, that fits these visuals? And I wrote the track and sent it to them. And like, there were like two little notes they had, but overall they were like, that's it. Like, that's perfect. So, you know, there is a lot that goes into game composition, you know, different programs that you have to work with if you're doing a full score, you know, different things you have to take into account as far as like, you know, where characters are and how they're progressing and all that stuff that I haven't had the pleasure to do yet, but I'm hoping to do that at some point, semi soon. I'm in talks with a studio to potentially take on a bigger game project. So we'll see. It'll be another one of those start doing it and, you know, hope it works out as well as everything else has up until this point.
Well, so far things have gone pretty well. So I have a feeling you'll figure it out.
I can't complain. I can't complain.
Now, if I read correctly, the band just had a new album come out, and I think you're going to go out on tour. Tell us about that.
Yeah. We're the album came out in February, and the response has been bananas. Like, we're just, yeah, it's crazy. But again, you know, just the fact that we've been doing this as long as we have, and people are still loving new stuff is awesome. So yeah, we're going out on tour February and March, a full US run, which will be our first tour since I think mid 2019 or late 2019, but right before the world shut down. So super stoked to get back out there. We're actually playing in Florida. We're doing two nights at Janus Live, I think March 26th and the 27th. Don't quote me on it. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to find that info online. I should probably be a better source of that information, but super stoked to get out there and get in front of people again. And playing in Florida is always awesome. And the fact that we're ending the tour here is perfect, because I get to play, and then I get to get in my car with my wife and kids and just drive home rather than getting back on the smelly bus. So yeah, looking forward to it.
And so where can people learn more about you, the band, everything you're involved with? Give us all that contact info so people can keep up.
So I'm super easy to reach. I am at Chris Under Oath on all social medias, basically. You know, one of my things that I love about social media in general is just the fact that somebody can send me a message and I can just write back to them. And the fact that if there's somebody that like I admire or I have questions for, I can reach out to them and ask them questions and like just send notes back and forth. And yeah, so I'm very open in that way. You know, as far as the band goes, you can check out our website, underoath777.com, or we're Under Oath Band on all those social media sites as well. We're easy to find, and I'm easy to find. So,
Chris, thanks for spending time with us today on the Film Florida podcast. Love your work and love the progression you're making through the film industry. We really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
Of course. Thank you for having me. This was honestly, yeah, it was fun. Thanks again.
Thanks for listening to the Film Florida podcast. For more information about Film Florida, go to filmflorida.org or visit our social media pages on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. If you're not already a member of Film Florida, please consider joining at filmflorida.org. If you like what you hear on the podcast, please consider going to our website and donating $20.22 for our 2022 fundraising campaign. Check out the Film Florida merchandise at filmflorida.creator-spring.com. And please remember to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast.